You can see we practice this a lot, okay?
Here's the easy talk.
There you go.
No input is detected. That's what happens up here all the time. So, how many people here were at the public hearing in the village, what, 3-4 years ago for the peanut plan? Quite a few. Okay. You may remember that one of the big comments that Holden Village and lots of Holden Village supporters were making was make the cleanup happen quickly as possible, because we were really worried that if the cleanup went on and on and on for many years, that it would be very difficult for Holden to reestablish itself. And that had a really big influence on the outcome and what happened, which is great. And you know, when I came up this year, even more than last year, here we are in our really third year of a whole lot of construction, and the spirit of this place is still so strong, and it's all you guys. It's great. And so I wrote a little song for the board briefing so I wouldn't have to actually do any work. And I didn't do any work. This is a song. It's an old fiddle tune. Woody Guthrie wrote some words to it. A pro-union song, you'll recognize it. So it's going to be a sing-along, okay? Not Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger. One of those guys.
Close.
The guy with the long banjo. So,
I'm an ex singer.
So let's practice, of course, okay? So it's, you can't scare us, we're holding the bill. Oh, you say, let's run one. I got it. So just to keep, you know, keep it clear that lawyers never do any work.
Right.
You know, it's on too.
Just write parody songs.
All right, can you put those up? This.
No.
Okay. I didn't touch them.
All right, this is actually a song that I actually wrote this 4 years ago. I wrote these parody lyrics 4 years ago. And it's to the tune of, well, when he goes up, you'll see it's to the tune of, there you go, to the tune of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, which some of you may know if you're as old as I am. And it's kind of an interesting little tune. I looked up, I want to see who wrote it, so I looked up on the internet, and it turns out it was written by Richard Sherman. Now, I mean, that's pretty remarkable for a guy who's the best cornerback in the NFL and also two little songs. Actually, then David told me, no, that's Richard and Robert Sherman. They're two brothers who wrote all the music for Mary Poppins. So that's where this comes from, Mary Poppins. And so when I wrote it 4 years ago, we were not Holden Village and the Forest Service and the EPA and DOE and Rio Tinto were not always on the same page. So I found that I had to rhyme all the words with remediation. There aren't many words that rhyme with remediation.
More than Nazis.
So aggravation worked really well. We sang this for two people, one from the Forest Service and one from Rio Tinto, and they weren't sure that aggravation was quite the right word. And I could change it, except it rhymes so well with remediation, so I'll just keep it. But just know that we're not necessarily involved in aggravation anymore. One more thing, on the third line there.
This is in six font.
The if is just a pickup. So the line really starts with it's. So let's just kind of play this. We'll sing it through once, and then whenever it comes up, you need to sing it.
Forest Service, EPA, and mine remediation. DOE and Rio Tinto cause us aggravation. It's too long and Holden's on a permanent vacation. Forest Service, EPA, and mine remediation.
When house out mining shut her down, they left a mess behind. There's iron in the tailings and metals in the mine. The whale site and some noxious stuff they hid behind a fence. Clean this all would sir involve a lot of big expense.
Oh, Forest Service, EPA, and mine remediation. DOE and Rio Tinto cause us aggravation. It's too long that Holden's on a permanent vacation. Forest Service, EPA, and mine remediation.
So they piled a bunch of rocks on top, and soon enough the orange dust, it actually did stop.
Oh, Forest Service, EPA, and mine remediation. DOE and Rio Tinto cause us aggravation. It's too long and Holden's on a permanent vacation. Forest Service, EPA, and mine remediation.
And then Norm Day decided he would open up the mine to see if he could find out what House Out had left behind. When he got in, he saw that it was filled with muck and slime. We don't know what he learned, but it sure took a lot of time.
Plunk and Holden's on a permanent vacation. Forest Service EPA and Mine Remediation.
Now after almost 20 years, it's finally begun. They're working night and day to get remediation done. The barrier wall, the hydro plant, timing is the key. Will we have guests next year? Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
$320
an hour
for that.
Yeah. Billable hours,
good. Tom charges even more because he's in Seattle.
If I could have the rest of the board, can you join me?
Thanks, Deb.
Okay, we are all assembled. I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves first. Starting with Sarah, whose birthday is today.
My birthday.
Happy birthday. Okay, we've got a short presentation, and then we want to leave plenty of time for question and answer. And then if you can please stick around at the end, we've got a video we'd like to show you also. So I think we can wrap this up by 9 and get everybody on their way. But I'd like to begin with reminding everybody that the mission of Holden Village, a Lutheran ministry, is to welcome all people into the wilderness to be called, equipped, and sent by God as we share rhythms of word and sacrament, work, recreation, and study, intercession, and healing. In this renewal and remediation, you are on mission. You are on mission. You've built bridges, as Kari reminded us at Vespers, and you've welcomed workers who have never seen this place. And you welcome into the wilderness as a partner with us on renewal. You've kept the rhythms going with a steady beat, and we thank you for that. You're also working very hard and making significant progress to prepare Holden Village to be strong for another 50 years of ministry. And we, the board, would like to thank you. Thanks for the tremendous hospitality this week. It's really been a pleasure. You seem more relaxed this year, and I've even noticed the deer are more relaxed.
Too relaxed.
So hopefully that's true, and hopefully you're having a good time in what is acknowledged to be a very difficult period of change, but one that we've been waiting for a long time. Thought you might want to know what we've been up to, huddling over there in Narnia and being out and about. And I'll give you a few highlights of our week, and then you can ask us questions about it. But one of the first things we did was remind ourselves of that mission and make sure that we, the board, were still centered on it. And we are. We're in this for the long haul. And you can't measure a mission in 1 or 2 years. It's a lifetime, and Holden Village is making great progress. You've got a really talented group of directors and managers here, and they provided us with reports on how the mission's going, and I'm happy to report it's in great shape. The gospel is being proclaimed here, the rhythms are set, and you guys are doing a great job. And I'd really like to thank Chuck and Steph. You know, we don't want to concentrate too much on financials, but a board is responsible to take a good look at those things. And we took a good look at Mission First, and then we took a good look at finances. And the health of the village financially has never been better.
Wow.
Let me tell you. We've been able to, through the negotiations with Rio and fundraising and other things that have gone on, we've been able to afford reinvesting in this ministry here, and that's a really powerful thing. So the money is going to a very good work. We're attending to the infrastructure needs that we need to attend to, and the money's being spent wisely. So thank you. We've assembled a group, and this is kind of fun, to work on honoring our past and looking forward to our future. And that's going to take the form of a new museum. So right now, in the capital of Olympia, there's consideration going on about Holden Village's application for a $1 million grant to help support a museum that honors Holden's past and its future. And Lola Dean has worked really hard on that and deserves a lot of credit for advancing all of that. So thank you.
Pray about that one.
As far as board business goes, you know, one of the things a board has to do is maintain itself and make sure that you know, it's got good representation from the Holden community and the best people that can represent the village as your board. We take on a fiduciary responsibility and advancing this mission and have to make some difficult decisions at times. So we said goodbye to a couple board members. Tom Smith, who I think you all know, he had to leave on the bus at 1. But Tom served 12 years on the board and just a tremendous guy. Many of you have logged with him. He helped in terms of the interface with the Forest Service and any fire protection issues and all that. Just wonderful guy, and we're really going to miss him. And then Chris Sharon will be resigning from the board. Many of you know Chris as a program director for a couple years ago, the summer program, and he has taken a job in New York City that, and he's still going to live in Minneapolis, imagine that. So, you know, he had to lessen some of his commitments, so he is leaving the board. But we, you know, we had 3 openings for new board members. There were 5 people that were re-elected to the board for a second term. So they're present here tonight. And then we are adding 3 other people to our board to replace Tom and Chris and another member that had resigned a little earlier. I can't tell you their names, unfortunately, that, you know, with the process, we need to be able to notify other applicants as well as the people that were selected, but they're really, really great folks, and we're looking forward to that. Transition is a part of Holden Village, and as part of that, we checked on our progress for the call of the next executive director team, and that process is going very well and is on track. So we reviewed some of that. We also elected new officers of the board, and I get to retire, not from the board, but from his chair, and I'm really excited to introduce that Carl Anderson is going to be the next board chair. And that Josh Post will serve as vice chair. Josh is right over there. And then Rob Quello was elected as treasurer. Lois Rimbaud was already an officer, and she gets to continue with these three guys.
One woman.
Yeah. We're rooting for you, Lois. We've also, you know, established some pretty important work that you can't finish in one board meeting. So we got some work going on technology in the village, and Hans is heading up that little task force, and he's going to draw on expertise throughout. You know, we want to be very deliberative in terms of how we use technology in the village and make sure that it's furthering our mission. We're also updating our HR policies, human resources policies. You know, the village is far away from everything, but it's still part of the state of Washington and the United States, and we have to follow things called laws. We're making sure that we're in compliance with all the laws, and Lori and Melissa have been helping with that, along with Jim. So that's pretty exciting work. And then we're going to be coming back in end of February, early March, as a board, weather permitting, of course. And we're going to be working on the vision and next several years of what Holden could look like it as it reemerges from the remediation and renewal that we're going through right now. So that's pretty exciting work. And then for us as a board, besides being able to spend time with all of you, we were really honored to get a tour both on this side of the creek and across the creek to see the progress. And I hope you're all able to do something similar at some point. We've had the vantage point of seeing it sort of on a year-to-year snapshot. And some of us get in the village a little more often, but when you measure it in that kind of time period, the progress that these guys from Rio and Magnus and Poole and others is just amazing. It is it's a huge project, unbelievable undertaking. But when you get up there and you see what used to be tailings this steep graded down to what could be a nice golf course someday, I'm telling you, it's pretty darn impressive. So we were able to interact with them and talk to the Forest Service and Rio about timing and project status and when we're able to get more guests back in the village. And by the way, I think, it's really good that the board actually comes to the village. We get to interact with all of you and become a lot better informed over things that we could never get as a picture or an email. And I think one of the things that we've learned is that 2015 is going to be a full construction year. And that's really important for all of us to get in our heads. But like I said, we're in this for the long haul. We will get guests back here. There are a lot of the energy that we're all looking forward to. But we want to get this done right, and we want to do it extremely safely. You like that, Peter? So that's some of the stuff we learned. So I'd like, all of us are ready to respond to questions, and if we don't know the answer, we'll do our best to get it, and then if there's something's in process that we can't talk about, we'll have to let you know that too. Your form, please.
So, following up on your last comment, does that mean that there won't be guests next summer? Is that?
Chris, we were exploring today, we're trying to explore, how can we show the holding community that we're really making progress here, but yet not put anybody at significant risk or slow down the work that's going on here. So, you know, I don't have the complete answer to that yet, but we're exploring some innovative ways that you know, through some public relations and other efforts, we might be able to, you know, be able to show people what's going on in a better way, but yet not slow things down or put people in danger. And more of that will become clear pretty quick, I hope.
I think it's safe to say there won't be 200 guests here. Right?
Yeah.
That's safe. Not at the same time.
I would go the other way. There won't be one guest here. But
That's probably it.
I mean,
I know. It's a big challenge.
It's a real wild card, and one guest gets killed. It's.
That's right.
Believe me, that is.
Yeah.
But we're doing some innovative stuff. Like
have that happen.
Webcam. Okay, and we can show people
virtual
some progress. And
virtual guests, they're probably safe.
No, I think I guess I'm encouraged to hear that you're seriously considering that. It certainly would put a challenge to everything that's going on.
Yeah, and we know that neither you or Rio can just stop a project and, you know.
We also don't want people to come up here and go, this isn't over.
But I think us finally kind of admitting to ourselves that it is going to be a full year of heavy construction next year is pretty important for us to get that perspective and say that to you, that we get that. I don't think it necessarily means not one single guest, but we get that it's going to be heavy construction.
Do you have a sense of people in your own communities and your own kind of Holden networks, like how people understand what's going up here? Do they?
I'm going to talk a little more about that.
Yeah.
You know,
they want to come.
I'm sure.
They
want
to know.
Yeah.
But things like the Village Voice and the emails have really, really helped.
Even just the Facebook photos, I hear people talking about those and getting a sense of what this really means, or to see the frame of the building, or you know, that that's no longer. Those are things that people have thought about, but they just haven't been able to visualize. So people in the village are helping tell that story.
Well, one of the key issues is how, when people were thinking, we can come back soon, we can come back soon, and now we have to, how do we build enthusiasm so they long for it for a longer time?
you know, that's what we're trying to figure out right now.
How about a lottery for the first batch of guests?
That's a good idea.
That would be exciting. Yeah, absolutely.
We'd even thought about holding on the road down in Chelan or one of the areas there and have a one-day trip up to Holden for people to come and see it and take a tour. Okay, so they'll
control.
So that it will not, it's really hard to coordinate all these things on the road, but if you had something close here and then we could, we're wanting Rio Tinto and do that, and then we could rent the boat out, have this whole group come up and see it in order to maintain the contact with the
so community. Buy your lottery tickets now for one free day at Holden.
We also talked about the recommendations from the Forest Service and Rio Tinto and the managers and management involved to really consider their thoughts on that decision as well.
Yeah, we can't decide all these things. We need lots of input on it. So.
You'll also see in the video, too, some things that Lola's been dealing with. And the thing that was very exciting about the museum to me, I don't want to speak of. Well, you know, it's supposed to be something, an educational center. There may be a performance area in it. There may be a meeting place where 50 people, it will be year-round, and it is not going, it's going to look like a new building, but it's not going to look
like the garage and the hall.
Yeah, the, like, it'll be different, okay? So we're talking about, holy smokes. And it will be accessible because it will be down here. And it will be heated and, you know, usable for the whole winter and summer.
Did you sign up
for the same thing? Yeah, I know
that. So, Chris, you know, in your question, too, we don't even have a timeline for figuring that out for sure one way or the other, but we'll be working on it. I'm sure it will be a part of our fall meeting agenda. And we're going to want to, and working with Chuck and Steph throughout the fall, thinking what possibilities could exist before we nail that down one way or the other.
How do you want us to respond to people who ask? I get that question a lot.
We don't know. I guess. I mean,
we're going to get asked too, yeah.
We're going to be developing a sort of a talking point page with Chuck and Steph, also to be used in the campaign, the county campaign, because we get that question a lot.
Cindy, I think the safest thing at this point is probably to say that the board and everyone at home is going to do everything that's in our power to get the opportunity for guests to be back in this valley as quickly as we safely can.
That's what I've been saying.
if we could have a better answer, trust me. I mean, as much as everyone else want to say this is the date, but it's.
But I think, do you think that a more definitive statement about 2015 by November would be appropriate?
Would that help?
Would that help?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess part of it is it seems to me the longer we put off something, the harder it is for people. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I agree. I think we just want to make sure that, you know, if there are some alternatives that they can connect with Holden beyond what we've already done, that we also outline those.
I agree with Cindy, though. I think that it would be helpful to put out sooner rather than later that next summer is a heavy construction
summer.
And then you could put a caveat as far as what that means for everybody else. We're still working on it.
Right. Good point.
There's no doubt that next summer is a heavy construction. It's probably going to be heavier than this summer.
Yeah.
I don't know what the publication dates are for the Village Voice, but my sense is that it's probably before November that, you know, that's anything will meet one of the. I mean, you guys know all that.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at September, where
for
we'll
fall.
September review the summer and probably look at a projection ahead to get a picture for people to start to digest.
We'll see if we can get some.
But it's good for the public to also understand that it's enormous. It's an enormous project. And, you know, I mean, you all know this much better than I do until I took this tour, and I just was absolutely amazed at the size of the equipment, the amount of fuel that they go through, the cost is staggering daily of what this whole thing is. And so it's kind of this whole thing is bigger than all of us in some regards, and we're just trying to wade through it, you know.
You know, Steph brought up the fact that it was broadcast out that it wasn't really we're trying to get it ready to go in 2 years, okay? But it's not what people heard. Okay, they heard 2 years, okay? And that's what they're thinking. And we got friends that are that way too. And so we can say, no, we didn't say that, but that's what they heard. And so we've got that to manage too.
Well, one of the things that she had for Holden on the Road is people saying, well, why would I go to Holden on the Road when I can go to Holden next summer. And it's hard not to say in response to that. Well, that's not the way I would say it.
No.
But, you know, it's hard to say, you know, hey, it's hard not to say that might not probably
Okay, next question.
Do we have a sense of what projects we can complete this year and plan for next year?
I'm going to defer to the expert on that, and that would be Chuck.
Or Chris.
Chris and Matt.
Well, we're continuing to focus, you guys chime in, but continuing to focus on public works, getting the water lines, electrical stuff in, moving into tackling, thank you, Kari, the bridge, and tying the two together, the hydro, tying everything into the buildings, really the same track we're on. We're really balancing out whether or not we should take on Lodge 4 this winter. That we, that's a good, it's a strong possibility. And then we've got the roofs in the fall, railings, porches, all of that kind of queued up to be more looking at next year. So we'll, we reviewed a lot of the capital, we kind of revised, reviewed over the board meeting, and so kind of in-house we'll, we can explain and show everybody what we have budgeted and what we're looking at. In detail, if you like.
Will we be contacting for some of that?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then the, you know, I think it was noted, the museum is currently, if the grant comes through, that is currently on the slate in 2016 construction. So, the, and that would be a fair amount of that would be contacted up.
Okay.
Thing I would say about our review of that is we're aligned with what Chuck presented to us in terms of what we'd like to do. I think that's fair to say.
Absolutely.
We didn't come back and say why would you do this or why aren't you doing this.
And there's the for the stuff that Chuck outlined, the money is there, so we're working pretty hard on that. Ms. Peter.
You mentioned another full year of construction, and you know, obviously the village is being compensated for all of the housing of all the miners, and you know, like you said, we're in good financial condition. Is that going to push us even into better financial condition if we house all the people next year?
Most likely, yes.
But we also don't know what'll happen once that money goes away, so we have to be careful.
Yeah, we've got a lot of projects still on the books, plus the fact that when we do go back to full guest, there's a little bit of a gap there until we kind of catch up with that rhythm of financing. So that will be a year that we need to be planning ahead. But we've got, well, it's something I was going to talk about during the video, but we have a little, can we go ahead and do the video, please, folks?
Let's just make sure there's we've answered all of the
questions.
I have one more. You said the director search is on track. Could you just remind us what I don't know what your time you know,
sure.
Remind us what the timeline is.
Well, there's a committee of the board as well as some past board members that are working on this. And they'll be holding the formal interviews in the next 3 months, and then selection shortly after that. No start date, or we're trying to have some overlap in coordination in the transition, and all that's still to be figured out.
So October is? November is when. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd be totally speculating if I told you a date. So
this fall we should have an idea, but then whether they accept or not, and when we can release that, could be another month. One more.
We're calling it a call committee. It's got to be a call for these new people to come.
Can I just make a comment and not a question, and maybe you could respond to it? But I did talk to Darius this morning about this whole issue, and it is a big concern. The timeline, as far as when the new directors come on, last summer when the end date for Chuck and Steph were picked, it was with the understanding that we would start programming, and just knowing the amount of work and the projects that we have going on, as well as the interface with Rio Tinto, and how difficult it's been, really, to work. I mean, they work 12-hour days, mm-hmm. 7 days a week, and when they want something, they want it now, and they were taking a lot of our time trying to respond to them, and so it's there's been a lot of work working through that, and I think Chuck and Steph have done a great job controlling it and corralling it.
Right.
And anyway, so that's kind of a preface, and so my concern is that right now we're going to be transitioning directors in the middle of a heavy construction season when they're trying to finish and we're trying to finish our projects, and it just seems like that's going to derail. And so I guess my question or comment is, you know, with new information that now we've got a full summer of heavy construction next summer, it seems like calling the next directors would make sense to extend it into the fall, not in the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to see kind of what transpires. But I think, you know, it's a legitimate concern, and the good news is that, you know, everybody's being proactive at this time to try and, you know, create that those bridges of transition that work. And Chuck and Steph are going to be very involved in that. So.
And there will be some level of overlap inside, outside of the village, so it won't be goodbye, and which is atypical to many transitions in organizations. So.
Yeah, Holden's had, I mean, I interviewed, I think, 5 sets of executive directors a while back as part of a board project. And, you know, we really tried to learn about transitions and try and do some things a little better. It's our top priority, because...
Yeah, and I just think, I guess my comment to the board is that things have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and next summer, if they're trying to finish, is going to be a very intense summer, as well as intensity on our.
The other side of that coin is, because we are being delayed or taking longer, it's all the more important to build the enthusiasm that we're coming out of this somewhere, and having some directors here, some new directors here can help with that tension. So it's a tough call.
I hear you though.
Yeah.
I want to echo what Chris was saying, that I think that we've just got a lot of work ahead of us, not only this year but next year as well. Both what the line remediation folks are doing, but also what we're doing here with the project. There's just a lot of work, and I haven't ever been on a big project that didn't have an equally long punch list. It's just the nature of the beast, and the punch list here will be probably half again as much difficulty because of our remote location. It's just it's a lot harder to logistically. It takes a lot more to get things done here. And if you miss a beat, then the delays, and then you don't. It just snowballs. So I totally echo what Chris is saying. I also am curious as to what the board thinks about the numbers that we're going into this winter with in terms of staff. We've got more kids and families and stuff coming. We're really pushing for housing. As a community member who's made a commitment to another year and a half or however long the Schultzes are hanging around. provided I don't get eaten alive by mice between now and then.
Yeah, I heard about those mice.
I'm not pleased with the mice, but at any rate, are we looking at ways to fund getting the housing up to par to make room for all these people so that we're not hopscotching around so much? Because that is stressful.
If I can jump in, we actually did discuss that. Other than budget-wise, we have line items to address that that are approved and funded.
We were sort of surprised at all these children that are anticipated for this school year. It sort of blew us away.
You're the fastest growing school district in the state of Washington.
All in 1 year.
Although my little school district might double, because we're doubling.
doubling next year.
Oh, no, they're more than doubling.
Oh, we're more than doubling.
And that means it's going from 7 to 14.
I have a short question. Back to the directorship. Has it ever been considered reorganizing how the directors would be hired? Like, perhaps there would be directors for programming, for in-village, and then for remediation, for out-village. It seems like there's so much on the director's plate now that it would be so much better to have a third or, you know, it kind of divided up. It's such a big job.
It is. It's a huge job. And you know, with some of this overlap, that's some of the stuff that we're going to be discussing, is how to best use everybody's talents. You know, during that overlap, and as we gather here in February, we talk about what Holden Village can be in the future. I think you got to always look at how you organize the directorship going forward. So very open to that, and I mean, we all know Holden's different. In terms, I mean, you depend a lot on volunteers and short and long-term staff, and all that's up for figuring out.
But the job description, letter or call description for the directors did not say a person or a couple or two people. It could be an individual or team who said, these are the ways that we feel that we need to accomplish these leadership goals. And so there are many different ways historically that has happened at Holden. And as Chuck and Steph have created a management team here, it's different than the management team that came right before them. And so there's many different models of how to... So we're not in one box of how leadership occurs in the
future. Yeah, and you know, let's not forget to acknowledge the grace of God, because good grief, what the folks that step off the bus and fill a need here, it's miraculous.
Yep, it is.
If there's anything I've gained in my 8 years of experience on the board, it's like, holy cow, do I see God working here. So, you know, part of it's faith.
Can you talk a little bit more about what your time in February, what the purpose of that is?
Well, actually, it's on the board top agenda for tomorrow. So we haven't talked about it as a board, but we have had great success in kind of coming up here in the winter and really having a time to concentrate on one thing, which is the long-term vision. And sometimes we've had some facilitation associated with that. Other times we've just tackled it as a board. I remember hearing the story about the board getting together, and they had a fancy facilitator hired. And it turned out to be a complete bust, and they kicked the guy out, and then they came up with the mission and vision statement that you have now. And it all worked out. So, you know, I have a feeling that God, the Holy Spirit will be here and the board will be doing good stuff.
And it's not something that happens yearly. It's like every, 5 years?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like 5-year plans or 5-year blit vision or whatever.
Now, your job is to make sure it's not the iceberg Holden Village. Like the last time.
We just secured the dates today.
I think for those of us on the board that have been here in the summer but never been here in the winter, and I'm one of those, we recognize that it's a different community in the winter. And that's part of why I'm delighted to know that we've scheduled that, because it gives us a chance to see the community alive in a different way. And that's all part of Holden. I'm really thrilled about that possibility.
Lois, what are the dates?
February 27th to March
2nd.
March 2nd.
We kind of were clearing up what the previous one had been. So.
It'll probably also be community building for the board. We want, we'll have three new board members, and it's a time where we, it's a little bit of a retreat time at the same time, as doing some, perhaps some really hard work on mission and vision.
My vote was it was not going to be on Super Bowl weekend.
Can I go back to the leadership transition for a moment? The role of the directors is to lead the staff here, and I just want to affirm that Chuck and Steph have done a great job of thinking about transition planning for many different leadership roles here in the and that's their leadership, not the board's. But as I look at the different managers and all of that, they're doing something that is very, I think, sustainable and healthy for the village of not having all managers leave at the same time. So that is something that I think is a healthy thing at this time of transition.
Jim Busan has told us, noses in, fingers out. Okay, so we have to let the managers do their job. We've got to let people in Chuck's position make some decisions, Chuck and Steph's position, to make some decisions about how they feel about what's going on. And so we try to keep out of it. I think we do a good job. I don't know.
Well, and we're advised by Chuck and Steph. Chris.
And we're not perfect. We make mistakes too.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, I think I'd like to turn it over to Lola.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing first, I wanted to recognize actually Mark.
Oh.
board president for the last 4 years, correct? This right.
Four mountainous years.
So the sort of the mark of this time has been, as you all know, unknown.
Should I get the score?
We're going into. And so Mark was brave enough to step into the role as president of the board during these years, and we've gone through mountains, through fog, through
valleys.
And really, there's been a lot of. A lot of hard decisions, and he's stepped up to it. Ben, I mean, I've learned a lot from Mark. He's, you know, everything isn't exactly ideal. We're doing our best, and he's taking that leadership on, and it's been remarkable. He's humble about it, but one thing when we were working with Rio Tinto, organizing all these deals, Mark was right there beside me. We were with Rio Tinto, their big wigs and all this stuff, and he came in. He, you know, he's a business guy with his suit and all this stuff, chief financial officer, and I'm Mr. Small organizational camp director guy or whatever, and so added some credibility to this. and so that work was really a pleasure working with him through that, and both Steph and I through all these things. So so we wanted to.
This isn't much, but
just a small token of thank you, though.
We think you should actually own one of these.
Reestablish those ties and the things that they remember. So we're going to just go ahead and go through this quickly. I'm not going to give you the full spiel that we use. We make sure they remember the vision, the mission, next, and the core values. And the pictures that we have, this is the second version. This version will be updated on an ongoing basis. Go ahead. We try and have them remember what the past, go ahead. As I said, we'll just do this fairly quickly. Remind them how many people have been here, how many people come over and over. We remind them about the mining town, because this is going to be, and now as we move into the museum planning as well, this is going to be a very critical issue because we have a lot of people that are interested in the past history. Remind them what it looks like. Remind them that mine remediation wasn't necessarily our idea, but we are going to get through it. We talked to them a little bit about what it's like to have mine remediation workers here along with our Holden people, and you guys are really great the way you do that. And then we show them pictures, because this is one of the things that people are really curious about. What is really happening with mine remediation? So go ahead. So we show them the railroad creek. And we showed, this is one that really they love to see, but they all shed a tear. Most of the people that come to see these are people who have been to Holden many times. In fact, Anne was trying to find a picture of the mine thing. Oh, they're very always very interested in that funny looking building. What is that? That, yeah, the garage and the hall. And then they want to know what they're really doing. And so we explain to them as best we can. Some of us have had a little more experience with what is happening than others. But we tell them as best we can what Rio Tinto is really doing and why this is such a big thing. And they are amazed at the size of this wall and what's really going to happen. Okay. Yeah, what is happening. Okay, then we talk to them about the fact that this 3 years, or whatever it's going to be, has truly been a gift to Holden Village. And most of the people that come to see this have either worked up here, they've been here when they've had the, you know, the toilets are broken, or something always was broken. And so they know what it's like to have to put up with some of these things that have been really bad. Cindy told us at the last Holden on the Road that 6,000 gallons of water we lose a day, is that right? Can
no,
I close that?
I said I wasn't sure, but I thought that some days it was in the tens of thousands,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's currently 22,000.
Yeah.
Oh my
what?
God.
What?
Said,
a day?
I said I thought it was 20,000, but
it's been
don't
around
me
14
on.
To.
All right, I'll make sure everybody who does this knows 22,000 gallons of water a day.
Just
right?
Last week, it's changed all the time.
Well, that is the kind of thing that people can then start to understand what we are doing with this gift of time that we have on this side of the creek.
Yeah, we need a permit to stop groundwater recharge, though.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't want to hear that. I didn't hear that. So we kind of briefly go through what's gone on. And we're able to show them, I said, okay, now last summer that was a big ditch. This summer, that is being covered. Well, yeah, I guess we got a little out of order.
There it is.
Go ahead. Yeah. And what these things really cost. Now, first of all, when we show this, people go, ah! And they really panic. And now the thing that we can tell them is about half, or not half, that's probably not right here, the third of the work is done and paid for. We're going to work out these details. We've got to get this talking points right. But the fact that we can tell people that we have been able to accomplish some of these things, that the water and the electricity will be intact, it'll be safer, it'll be much better for the environment the whole way around, just keep talking. And they can understand these things. This, I'll tell you, this campaign is a lot easier to sell than the last one, which is all built on program. This is pipe. People understand pipe. They understand toilets. They understand water. So all in all, that is has a much easier thing to do.
How many miles of conduit?
I'm sorry?
I was just saying, Chris, how many miles of conduit we put in?
I don't know.
Oh, that would be a good, would you please put a, could
we
have a
fact?
Just a, I love to throw out these big numbers to people. Okay, keep going. We really dwell on how it works in this particular one. Now, as time goes on, we will update these pictures. If somebody will take them up here so that we can get them. Keep going. Historic preservation, this is one that doesn't create a lot of interest except for the miners. But it's important. And I see you back there, Matt. It's important. And we are going to do everything we can to keep the village looking like it is, including the new museum will fit in with the look of the village. It won't look exactly probably like it. You will see the pictures as we go along. One of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be applying for some other grants as well as this $1 million grant. And really keep that in your prayers. You know, we don't know if it'll work. If it does go through, if we get awarded a grant, then you're all going to have to get, all of those who live in the state of Washington are going to, you're going to get an email up here. Please get a hold of your legislators to make sure you fund that fund to the total of the $10 million, because otherwise we won't get ours. So we'll let you know more about that later. Go ahead. Landscaping, everybody knows Janice. Janice, you probably aren't here, but everybody knows Janice and wants to help Janice. So our goals were to adopt a professional plan you can all read. And this is what, you know, we try and talk about this as we go through. And it's not just landscaping for beauty's sake, it's landscaping to keep the village cool.
Accessibility.
Accessibility. Mm-hmm. Lodging. And it's really fun for us to be able to now say, as of next Monday, Lodge 3 will be habitable. By the time I do this again, I can say. And it's fun. It's such fun for people to see, oh my goodness, that's what it looked like. We almost need another picture. Okay. And then this is the part where we start talking to our Holden people. How's it all going to happen? Through God's grace, Holden Village has been given this time to revitalize its facilities and continue. Could you hold that one just a minute for me? And I really stress this as a gift. Holden was a gift to start with for $1. Holden has received gifts over and over and over again. I don't know how many times, and I know Chuck and Steph have experienced this. I've experienced it 3 times when I have been here in a big problem with the village over something that needed to get done. The right person slipped off the bus, or they came up with me and they redesigned the bookstore and we put it back together. We had this museum project which looked like an immense thing that we were never going to be able to handle. We went to a workshop on the 20th of March. The applications were due in Olympia on the 15th of May. I took one look at the stuff we had. I said, I didn't know if we could do this or not. But I have this friend. I got my friend who taught architecture at the University of Oklahoma in Norman, who is retired, who teaches a class online in museum, and museum has been her specialty. The four of us sat down, and within 10 days, we had the application put together with the help of the architects, with Scott Slava, and a lot of prayer.
Matt helped with that too.
Yes, Matt helped. Matt got to write a part. We all wrote a part.
So you say, does it ever happen to us? I'd say every person in this room that is one of those people that has done that.
Yes. So just remember, the gifts keep coming, and we're hoping that they still will continue to come, so we can all enjoy Holden as we've known it in the past. Okay, that's good. Now, who are the usual and treasured volunteers? Do any of you see yourselves in there? Maybe not in that one, but let's go to the next one. Few more people. I think there's somebody in there you might know. Any of you remember Janet Grant? She was a director.
Roseanne.
And the way it's going to happen is everyone in the Holden community, all however many thousand have been here, to be involved. And even if they can't come now, they can be involved. And the way they can be involved is by helping us fund the rest of the projects. So we're building our Holden community out there again through individual contact, through the Village Voice, through the directors getting out there, through everything that we can do. And that's one of the things in talking about the transition with the new directors coming on. This is one area that we're really going to use the new directors, is to get out around the country to help people understand that Holden is going to be coming into guest facility again. But here we are, here, and that'll be an introduction for them, which will be good. The other thing is that we will be moving on the museum sooner than we thought we were. We thought it would probably be down the road a ways. However, Rio wants to do it while they're still here. So we're talking about 2016. That's a short window. So guess what's in the new director's packet when they arrive? Probably the museum to do. So that's where we are. The one thing I want to sort of challenge all of you is everyone who has ever been associated with Holden we encourage you to give a gift. You can do it over pledge over 3 years, and I'm not talking about people who have thousands of dollars. When my husband and I started giving to Holden, we gave $10 a month. For us, that seemed like a lot with 6 children. But whatever you can do, it's your investment in your future at Holden. So I have cards if you have questions. There are a few of us on the campaign committee who are here who can answer questions. But this is your investment in the future of Holden. So we do hope you will. Will it happen? We hope so. We know it will. Holden will never die. And we've only got 2.5 more to raise. 2.5 more. That's so much better than 4.8. So there it is.
So how much did we raise altogether?
Pardon?
How much has been raised already?
The original campaign was at 4.8 million, and now the campaign's down to 2.5.
Questions? Can you turn the lights back on?
I just want to say that the board 100% has made pledges and gifts to this. So the board is bought into this, and I think you as staff people should know that. We believe in this project.
The other thing you should know that some of the monies that have been used have been saved over the years by good stewardship on the part of the directors, these directors plus the directors before, so that money has been waiting to be used and is being used for these projects. Nothing we're doing is very inexpensive, but this is the one time we have to do it. So, no questions? Come on, you guys, you must have some questions. Matt wants to know about his railings. We're gonna write a grant for Matt's railings.
Can I just underline? I've been a volunteer for like 20 years of my 40 years, some years, so I get that a lot of folks that are here working and giving their time, mm-hmm. that feels like a lot sometimes, and then when you hear something like, please give some money, it might be interesting to think about. But I encourage you, because I sign the contribution letters, that I want you to know that this place is buoyed up by thousands of people giving a little bit of money, and I have more than once wept in the office when I get a letter from, looks like probably an older person with a $5 bill taped to it that says, I love Holden, thanks for the Village Voice, keep doing a good job. And I am like, oh my gosh, to think that many people care, and it's that little kind of a gift that happens that keeps this place going. I'm hoping that when you leave Holden, that you continue to be a part of maintaining this place, because we really operate only partly on guest income. The rest is donations. So now is a good time to put that $5 in an envelope and give it to Lola. But I'm saying it doesn't need to be huge, but it is a good thing to realize that it is a truth that we do operate. We need time from people, but we do also need a financial base for it to continue on into the future. So that's my underline. And
thank you.
It doesn't have to be a lot.
No. We know lots of you have student loans. People come here right out of college, they've got student loans to work with. They've got, a lot of us are on fixed incomes, which is a real bore, I'll tell you. But, you know, you do what you can, and that's what Holden is. Everybody does what they can. So, that's it. I have popcorn to eat.
Thank you.
Thank you.